Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Amy provide helpful tips on how to get ready for anything that comes your way. And now, your hosts, Doug and Amy.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Doug. I'm here in studio with Amy today, and we are going to be talking about emergency medicine today on Ready Radio. It's going to be a really good show about not only what you can do to prepare, to, you know, the supplies you need and what you need to do, but we're going to talk a little bit more about knowledge and how to use those supplies and be able to take care of somebody in an emergency situation, and how emergency medicine differs from just your everyday first aid sort of medicine that people may be more familiar with. And this has been a topic that was brought up to us through email. One of our listeners had emailed and mentioned that they would really like to hear more about emergency medicine. And we had a couple of comments on our Facebook page a while back about, you know, is there, you know, an expert in emergency medicine that, you know, you guys would recommend? And so we did our research, and the best people we could find were Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, who are a regular speaker on the Emergency Preparedness Expo circuit. And they have willingly showed up today. They're going to be in our second segment, Amy, to talk about how to be better prepared medically for whatever may come.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to hear from Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy. She's, of course, not to be confused with me, the Doug and Amy part of the Amy show.
I was going to say, we're going to have to call her Nurse Amy and probably you host Amy.
I want to be Radio Amy.
Radio Amy. Okay.
I don't know.
That's it. We'll have Radio Amy interview Nurse Amy.
Sure.
And I'll interview Bones, and I'll do my best William Shatner impression to talk to Bones about the coming disasters.
That's right. There you go. Hey, you know, do what you got to do there, Doug.
And anything like to get a laugh. You know, that's something that I try to do in everyday life. I mean, the topics we discuss here, they're pretty weighty. You know, Amy, mm-hmm. We talk about, you know, mega earthquakes. We talk about super volcanoes. We talk about all sorts of things that can go wrong. We talk about horrific disasters, you know, families being separated. And I've dealt with weighty subject matter in my other job for most of my career, and I've found that the best way to keep the mood in the proper temper is to interject some humor now and then. So, I mean, that's when we first started this, our first show was zombies.
Yes.
And I did that, you know, it was Halloween, and it was a good mm-hmm. tie-in, but I did that with purpose because I think that it can get to be too doom and gloom when you're talking about EMPs and how are you going to survive and, you know, what do you do when there's no electricity and what if it lasts for 20 years? I mean, what are you going to do? All of that, while it's important to keep, you know, a realistic look at the seriousness of it, you can't live your life just going around going, oh, the world is ending all the time. You've got to have a little levity. And so I think that that's something that's important to bring into the way that you prepare.
Yeah, I'm with you. We actually have, I'm a member of a group that gets together. We're on meetup.com, and there's about, you know, about 20 of us that get together about twice a month. And we have, you know, we really do discuss a lot of the things that we discuss on the radio. We discuss in open format, and you know, there's a different topic. We talk about hygiene, or we talk about, you know, EMPs, you know, different things like that. But, you know, it's a good group of people, and it's not unusual for, you know, somebody to be cracking jokes and giggling and just, you know, because if you lose your humor and if you, you know, I mean, there's something I like to call prepper panic. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was not the one to coin that term, but, you know, definitely completely agree with it, because let me tell you, if all it takes is a good day or two on YouTube and, I mean, or just searching on the internet, and you really can become panicked over, you know, not just the possibilities, but probabilities.
Right.
And, I mean, it's very scary when you let your mind go there. It's very scary. But if you act and behave every single day, with fear, it has already happened to you. You don't have to wait for the actual event. It already has happened to you and your family.
you know, it brings me back to something that Survivor Jane was talking about. You know, you've got the people who go in head first and get all panicked, and then you've got the people who choose to ignore, and they live in their own little you know, rose-colored glass world and choose to ignore everything that's going on. Both are extremes, and just like, you know, the way we make fun of some of the people who are extremists in prepping on TV and such, not be going to any extreme, the extreme of ignoring, the extreme of being panicked, is no good. You've got to keep perspective. And, you know, going back to our topic today about medicine, laughter is the best medicine. I mean, there's a reason for that, because, and going on down a different road, laughter is also contagious.
It
so,
is.
So, I mean,
yes,
you've got a contagious medicine going around here that will help keep everybody on an even keel. I think that that's a much more important thing than anything that we've ever really talked about, is just remembering to keep things on an even keel, you know, keep calm and carry on.
Sort of. Sure.
And, you know, that's the popular saying right now, but it's really true. It's really true that you need to have balance, you need to have perspective, and you need to take all of this in stride. And the best way to do that is to have a plan and be prepared. When you're prepared, then you can take it in stride, because you don't have to worry. You're not in a panic. I mean, it's like the person who goes and buys their H&R tax software on Tuesday. You know, the last week on Tuesday, we had tax day. The person who does it on Tuesday is a lot more panicked than the person who did it in January before the W-2s even showed up.
Yeah, so, a friend of mine, yeah, I think he was mailing his off today, or on Tuesday.
I knew one guy who was working on his at 2 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, and I sent him a nice little text reminding him to be sure to get them in the mail, and he wrote back and told me to bite him. So, you know, thank you, sir. Appreciate
that.
Yeah,
good buddy of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and something that you had mentioned, and, you know, talking about stress in general, I mean, there is proof out there now that stress plays physically make you sick.
Yes.
And I mean, it affects your blood pressure, and it makes you, it even lowers your immune system and makes you more susceptible to.
It's very hard on your eyes. It's very hard not only on your heart but on your endocrine system. Stress is a terrible thing. I mean, the idea is that you're supposed to get stressed in the moment of terror to give you a boost, even though it takes away from a lot of your longevity. Your longevity is increased by not getting eaten by the saber-toothed tiger.
Sure.
So
yeah, the
you
whole
get that,
flight or, you fight get or that, flight thing, I guess. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You get that boost. You take off. You save your life. You get an extra 10 years. Yeah, maybe you sacrificed 6 months on the end of it, but that's better than sacrificing all of it now. The problem is we don't live in that kind of world anymore. We live in a world
where... Well, we have chronic stress, yeah.
Stress is constant every day, and it's wearing us away.
Mm-hmm.
And the stress that we have is not saving us from anything. It's not saving us from being eaten.
No, it's harmful. Yep. Yeah, it is. And that's the thing. I mean, I kind of look at emergency preparedness very similar to, you know, saving money for a rainy day. You know, some people call it their emergency fund. I mean, if you have a little bit of money in that savings account for an emergency, because emergencies happen all the time, you know, and... if you have a little bit of extra cash when the car breaks down, you know, it's not an emergency because you have the cash set aside, and
right.
It's very similar. And then, you know, your stress level is not near as high, because then you're thinking, oh dear Lord, what credit card am I going to put this on? Or who can I go and ask for, you know, because I can't get to work without my car and I can't make money. And it's just a vicious circle. So, you know, you have that stress, but if you have that cash put aside, emergency preparedness is just kind of like that savings account. But you take, instead of money, you take it and turn it into something that money can't buy in some of these situations.
That's right. That's exactly right. I mean, you think about this as just another form of a savings account to bolster your everyday life. And, you know, if you I can't tell you how many times I've gone to my pantry when I just didn't have what I needed or decided I didn't want to. I mean, good night. The Mountain House food is pretty easy when you're really, really tired to just open one and pour some hot water in it and call it a meal and go to bed. I mean, there have been nights where I haven't gotten home till 2 or 3 in the morning, and that was dinner because I was exhausted and I sure wasn't going to cook, you know? And was that an emergency? No, but is it nice to have that sort of luxury to be able to have a quick and easy meal, like a Mountain House meal out of a pouch? Sure. I mean, that's one of the things that you can just run over to True Prep and replenish and not have to think about it.
Yeah, and a lot of these things, you don't actually have to wait for an emergency. I know that a lot of things that people do acquire for emergency preparedness, you know, you can actually use. Like, I use my Berkey water filtration every day.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is with that, you know, you could put lake water straight into that. We've talked about water filtration before on our shows.
Mm-hmm. Which you can listen to old shows at readyradio.net, or yes, you can find them on iTunes. And of course, they're broadcast here and on other stations.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when we talked about that water filtration in that segment, you know, we were talking about how you can take lake water, stream water, any kind of nasty water, really, and put it through your Berkey, and you have, you know, your drinkable water, and you don't have to boil it, and you don't have to add, you know, your chlorine to it and or bleach. But I mean, I use it every single day. And the nice thing is, I mean, I just filter my regular tap water. So, you know, emergency preparedness types of items, you don't have to wait for that emergency.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things being prepared isn't just having food or just having water. It's the ability to deal with different situations. And I think that's something that our next guests are really going to bring to this show, is the ability to deal with upcoming emergencies and medical emergencies. I mean, when you have a sick child, there's nothing worse in life. And what do? Well, you take them to a doctor. Mm-hmm. But what if you couldn't get to a doctor? Or what if there wasn't going to be transportation for an extended period? I mean, you know, we talk about a tornado or a flood. There might be several days. And if you had an arterial occlusion where you're bleeding out, a couple of days before you get help isn't an option. But likewise, if you had a broken bone, you wouldn't be able to get around. If you know, all these things, how do you do emergency medicine? And more than just how do you, you know, put on a Band-Aid? And I think that, you know, Joe Alton, he's known as Dr. Bones, is a medical doctor, and Amy Alton is known as Nurse Amy, is an advanced registered nurse practitioner and a certified nurse midwife. They're both medical preparedness experts, and they are the authors of the number one Amazon bestseller in survival skills, disaster relief, and safety first aid called The Survival Medicine Handbook, a guide for which medical help is not on the way. They have published a brand new second edition for their book. Their book is an excellent book. I know that True Prep carries that, and you can get it online. They are a fantastic group. They have their own website, and they're going to be here in just a couple of minutes to talk about everything they have to share. Folks, you're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the Talk of the Town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back. We have some special guests with us today, and we were talking just before our commercial break that we're going to dig into some medical issues. And I am so excited because I'll be honest. I mean, I've got questions of my own. I'm very excited to hear some answers to. But we have Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy with us today, and I would like to just kind of start off and ask the two of you, when you first got interested maybe in disaster preparedness in general.
Wow, that's actually kind of easy because we live in South Florida, and it's pretty common knowledge that come hurricane season that the list of supplies that everyone should gather, they don't necessarily do it, but what everyone should have is in front of the grocery stores and pretty much handed out to everyone. So for many, many years, we were your typical two-week hurricane preppers. Of course, we lived through Andrew down here and saw the aftermath of it and were involved in helping out in that situation. And then we have seen, of course, what happened with Katrina and Sandy, not to mention earthquakes, pandemic threats, floods, wildfires. I mean, you name it. I think this United States has been through it in the past 10 years. And any one of those can put, you know, your town or your community into a situation where the medical help is either not there or they're completely overwhelmed by what's going on. I think one of the biggest things personally that got us really ignited into this was the 2009 threat of pandemic. And, of course, having a medical background, being a doctor, a nurse practitioner, we knew the history of the Spanish flu from 1918 and how many people, what percentage of deaths that it caused. And thinking about, you know, the travel, the ease of communication and movement of people throughout the world in really just a few hours, how devastating if some virus truly mutated to just be easily transmitted from human to human, the devastating effects. And so we kind of got off our desks. We were tired already and looking for something to do because, of course, we love to teach. And this just, we fell into this, and it's just led from one thing to another.
That's awesome. I mean, you guys are very big in the prepper community. And one of the things that you have, you know, we talked about your book a little bit earlier. And, of course, we have a lot of questions about your book. But you also have a weekly podcast called the Survival Medicine Hour. You have a YouTube channel, Dr. Bones Podcast. Also your website. It's doomandbloom.net.
How did you come up with that name?
We're busy beavers. How did you come up with that name?
Well, it's actually pretty funny. You know that we are part of the Master Gardener program for the state of Florida, and so our website was actually going to be a website about survival gardening.
It was just a blog.
Oh, wow.
But then we found that there were no doctors and there were no nurse practitioners that were willing to speak out and to discuss what could possibly happen if you found yourself as the person in charge, at least from a medical standpoint, due to some disaster causing emergency personnel not to be able to reach you. And so we started writing about that, and now it's been over 500 posts on medical preparedness for any disaster on our website at doomandbloom.net.
And of course, the doom, you know, emulates that, you know, bad things can happen, but the bloom is if you're prepared and hopeful and confident that you can handle it, then your chances are much, much better of succeeding.
As opposed to doom and gloom.
You know, I have a friend who was involved with Doctors Without Borders, and that's one of the reasons that I was so excited that you guys were willing to come on our show, is to get more of a medical perspective on a lot of the issues that we talk about here. My friend had been in Africa for a long time trying to improve the conditions there. And one of the times I was speaking with him, he told me that it's a world of difference when you know that there isn't a fully staffed medical center to send somebody to. How does that impact how people prepare for medical emergencies in a real disaster situation?
Well, it's a big difference, actually. What's your goal when you find somebody or you come upon somebody who's either ill or injured in today's modern times, where you have, you know, high medical technology available to you almost at a moment's notice? Your job is to very simply stabilize that person and make sure they get transported to the next highest medical resource. But what happens when there is no higher medical resource than yourself, and you are in a, let's say, a remote or austere environment with limited supplies? This is what our friends with organization Doctors Without Borders, this is what they have to deal with
on a daily basis.
Exactly. You know. And these people that they're taking care of, they really don't have the option of just going to the nearest hospital, because the nearest hospital may be in the capital city of the country that they're at, and they may be out in the bush. Exactly. And so this is why we have worked as hard as we can to fulfill our mission. Our mission is very simply to put a medically self-reliant person in every family, in every community, for times of disaster.
Now, you guys have been traveling on the National Preppers Expo circuit, because I remember when I went to the NPS Expo here in Atlanta, that you guys were giving lectures there. What sort of things do you do when you're at one of these expos?
Well, when we're at the expos, we usually give a talk regarding how to be an effective medic in times of trouble for your family or for your community in case of a disaster. We also give hands-on classes in which we teach people about wound care, about wound closure, and more importantly, when you shouldn't close a wound. We have meet and greets for people that are followers of our writings and our show, our book. And we basically just are there to teach. We do have...
And answer questions.
Yep. We also put together lines of medical kits that people can see, just so that they can see what would be part of a well-dressed medic's supplies in times of trouble. We freely publish these kits, and if you go and the contents of these kits, if you go onto our website, you can see exactly what we think be appropriate.
You can just print them out and use it as a checklist and go shop for things yourselves. I mean, we really want people to have this. I don't care if they buy it from me, and I know that's a crazy thing to say, but the truth is, I only put them together because people asked me to. I never, ever thought I would have an online store with medical kits, but I'm very meticulous. I'm very obsessive compulsive about where things go and the quality and quantity of everything so that you have a lot of issues covered within each bag.
Yeah, and that's awesome that you do that. I know that a lot of the people that have their typical first aid kits are, you know, what you run out to Walmart and get a couple Band-Aids and things like that. So, I mean, I'm assuming that you have things more like suture kits. And let me ask you a question as far, you know, when it comes to sutures. I mean, I know that some people have a gift and they can sort of do this whole, you know, God bless you, by the way. I mean, I don't think I can do it. I mean, if my child were, you know, cut open and bleeding all over the place and I knew I had to stitch them up, I could probably do it, but I'd probably pass out or throw up a couple times. So what would you tell someone like me as far as being in that situation? How do you prepare for something like that?
Well, I think it is difficult, especially if it's someone that you love and to see them injured. But you do have to act rapidly in order to deal with a lot of these issues. And if it's a bleeding wound, of course, you have to apply pressure. Some of the best classes for this type of thing are actually first responder classes that are given by many municipalities throughout the country. And although they assume that you can transport people to a modern medical facility, a lot of the stuff that you will learn there will be very, very helpful. From the standpoint of our classes, we not only tell people the mechanics of how to flick your wrist and to place a suture in a wound, but we actually try to impart this is much more important, the judgment as to when a wound should be closed, when a wound should be left open, how it should be closed, and if you do leave it open, how do you take care of it from beginning to end? Because that's basically our main assumption. Our assumption is much different than anybody else that writes first aid books or talks about this type of thing, and that is very simply that there are no longer any hospitals, there are no longer any doctors, because something has happened that has left you as the end of the line with regards to your family's health.
I just want to add one more thing, Amy. You can also watch a lot of YouTube videos that are a little graphic and sort of kind of desensitize yourself, but you would be very surprised at how the blood becomes absolutely invisible to you when it's your child that you have to take care of or someone that you love. You would be very surprised, no matter how gory it looks, that you get immediately past that and the only thing you think to do is how can I help this person as fast as possible. You will not see that blood, I guarantee you.
This is really fascinating, guys. We're coming up on a commercial break, so we're going to take our commercial break at this time. Folks, stay tuned. We're going to be back in our next segment with Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy talking about more medical problems and how to prepare for an emergency situation. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio. We're here in studio with Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, and we're learning all sorts of interesting information about how to be better prepared for a medical emergency, and a medical emergency in a time when you may not be able to just run down to the Minute Clinic or to the emergency room to have it taken care of. I mean, that's one of the big issues that as we were talking about in our last segment, it just isn't really covered. People don't talk about what to do when you're the last of the line, or when you're the only person who can give the medical treatment that's necessary. And that's something that, you know, I used to live in Western Alaska, Amy, and we would have that sort of thing come up. We had great medical facilities in town, but you might be a 3-hour flight from the nearest town, and you might be where there's not the ability to fly out for 3 or 4 days. So having, you know, medical knowledge to be able to take care of an emergency that would stabilize someone for an extended period was more common up there than you see down here in Atlanta or Fort Lauderdale or Alabama or anywhere where you have access to good medical. And, you know, guys, when the last segment you were telling us about your book, why don't you tell us a little bit more about your book and what prompted you to write a book rather than just doing the blog and your lecture circuit?
Well, we wanted to have something down on paper. We had so many people that were printing out each one of our articles that wound up being sort of a long process for them, and they said, why don't you just put all this stuff in a book so that we can easily carry it around if we need to take it with us in times of disaster. And so basically our purpose in writing the book was to allow the average person, the non-medical professional, to deal with the likely medical issues they would face in any kind of disaster situation. We wanted to have a book, unlike a lot of books that are out there, that was written in plain English that pretty much anyone could understand. And we wanted to have a book that gave you a good idea of what supplies that you needed to be able to successfully deal with, let's say, 90% probably of the kinds of injuries and kinds of sicknesses that you would encounter in a circumstance where there might be, just about anything, a civil unrest or damage due to a storm or contaminated water supplies. So we put together probably about 100 different topics. I mean, we talk about everything from athlete's foot to gunshot wounds in the book. And we are trying to allow people to have the best chance to be an effective caregiver for their families in times of trouble.
I think that's a really, good point, that the book is written so that everybody can understand it. You don't have to have taken basic anatomy to be able to find the things you're talking about. The pictures, the illustrations, the common language that's used, it makes it so that anybody reading it can apply this directly to somebody who's in danger. But of course, the problem is that you can't be reading up on it when there's somebody lying there. You have to have studied it mm-hmm. ahead of time. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be able to apply it in a moment's notice. And I think a lot of people, when they're getting ready for a disaster, they have this philosophy of, well, if I buy the book, I'm good.
Doug, that is such a great point, because I'm sitting here thinking, if I got shot and then you said, Amy, hold on, let me go grab my book. Let me flip through. Oh, crap, what page is it? And you're flipping through. I'm going, just help me.
Yeah, did you guys put a quick reference guide so I can flip and find it really easy?
So not only do we suggest
this is homework. This is to be done now.
That's right.
This is your homework before these things happen.
That's right. And don't have that medical kit up on the top shelf in the back of a closet somewhere. Open it up, take a look at what's in it, and make sure that you have a good idea of how you would use it, and of course that all that stuff's in our books and in our DVDs and other educational information.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was so surprised. The first time I opened my medical kit, I realized that the scissors were broken. They were bent on the end. I mean, I couldn't use those for anything.
Hmm. There you go. Well, there you go.
There was a joke in there somewhere.
Probably so. Well, Nurse Amy, let me ask you this. You'd mentioned earlier that your website, doomandbloom.net, sort of blossomed, I guess if you could say, from sort of your gardening, for like the medicinal herbs and that kind of thing. I find that very fascinating, different plants that have medicinal properties. Do you have any favorite like natural products that have like medicinal properties?
Well, I would say garlic, and unfortunately for me in South Florida, it's very difficult to grow garlic. I'm still trying to find the perfect variety. Every season I plant all different kinds, but pretty much everyone other than myself can plant garlic, and it is fantastic. And you can use some of it for your medicinal purposes, and save the rest and replant it for the following years, because you only need the little cloves. You don't actually need the entire bulb. Mm. So you can eat some of it and save some of it. It has wonderful medicinal purposes. You can actually mix it up and blend it in raw unprocessed honey, which is another one of my absolute favorite things, and take it as an antiviral and an antibacterial. So you can take it internally. You can also use that same mixture and apply to a wound to help it either prevent infection or treat. Now, you don't have to use the garlic with the raw unprocessed honey externally. It's great for burns. It's great for scrapes, lacerations, any kind of wounds. Again, and they're actually using it in hospitals now. They call it Medi honey. I'm sure they spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on this special honey, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, it's you know, when they start using it in hospitals, you know there's something to it. But they had to figure out a way to make it expensive. let's see. I mean, there's so many. Echinacea. There's elder trees, ginger, lemon balm's pretty easy to grow. Lemon grass. I got, we had a problem with white fly on our ficus trees, and they were everywhere. And so I pulled some ficus trees out and planted some lemongrass instead around our electrical unit there in the front of our house. And that lemongrass is just, oh, so amazing. Yeah. Mm. It smells beautiful. Aloe vera is wonderful. Calendula is fantastic. There's just so many wonderful things. And they make usually beautiful flowers, or they smell good. They're beautiful plants. Use them in your landscaping. There's no reason we have to have a bunch of things in our landscaping that do nothing for you. So think about, what can I replace in my landscaping without looking like a jungle? Because I know some people, I'd like to have a jungle of this stuff. But some people want to have it very manicured and, you know, controlled. And you can still do that with herbs that give you some medicinal benefits.
I think that there's a big opportunity there for container gardening, too, for the people who are in apartments or perhaps in subdivisions that have homeowners associations and restrictions. But there are ways that you can, no matter where you are, grow your own stuff, be a little more connected to the earth, and take some charge for your own well-being.
That's right. Absolutely.
So tell me this. What are some of the most common injuries that are in a disaster situation, things that we should start preparing for and thinking about now?
Well, some of the most common things that you'll find are going to be traumatic injuries like sprains and strains, cuts and scrapes. These things in modern times are not may not be a big issue, but if you don't have emergency personnel available, you've got to have an idea of how to immobilize an injured joint. You have to know how to wash and keep a cut or a laceration clean. Some of the most unnecessary deaths that would occur as a result of a disaster situation in which we wound up without modern medicine is very simply a simple infected cut. And we'll be doing a lot of things that we're not accustomed to doing. It might be chopping wood for fuel, for example, and could actually get cut. And that cut can get infected, go into the bloodstream, and indeed you could pass away from from something that is as simple as a little bitty cut. Mm. So this is one of the things that it's important to know. Also, in a situation where you are now cooking food, perhaps in a campfire or in an outside camp stove, a lot of kids wind up accidentally getting themselves burnt. So you want to know how to deal with burn injuries. You want to be able to know how to handle diarrheal disease, because in a disaster situation, the water supply can become contaminated. So these are just some of the things that you'll have to deal with in a disaster where there's significant damage to the infrastructure.
And Dr. Alton, there are also in some of these situations that people would need antibiotics, and we're talking about situations where, you know, there may not be a doctor to go to, or a hospital, or you just may not be able to get antibiotics. You wrote the first article about using aquarium antibiotics in situations where modern medicine isn't available. How did you come to the conclusion that some of them were safe to use?
You know, I'm not only a physician, but we're also very devoted aquaculturists, and we raise tilapia in ponds down south where we are. They can live in our climate. And when I would used to give an antibiotic to a human being, let's say they had a particular type of infection that would require amoxicillin, which is a very common antibiotic. I'm sure you've heard of it. So I would give them amoxicillin. And when my fish developed fin rot or another kind of bacterial infection, I would give them something called fish mox.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for many years, I never really thought about, you know, whether they had any correlation with each other. But when we started getting involved with survival medicine and trying to figure out what people can do to stay healthy and to prevent unnecessary mortality in a disaster circumstance, especially a long-term survival situation, I took a closer look at them. And so I looked at the fish mox, the aquarium antibiotic, and I saw that it only had one ingredient, and that was amoxicillin. Hmm. And there was nothing there that made your scale shinier or made your fins longer. And the another amazing thing that I found is that fish mox only seems to be made in human dosages.
Really?
It's only comes at 500 milligrams of amoxicillin, and it only comes in 250 milligrams of amoxicillin, which is the human dose and the adult human dose and the human pediatric dose. Hmm. And so I thought that that was a little unusual. I looked around for other dosages. That's it. Hmm. It's only produced in human dosages. And so finally, I opened up the bottle of human amoxicillin. This particular amoxicillin was made by Deva Pharmaceuticals, and it's a red and pink capsule with the numbers and letters WC731 on it. And I opened up the fish mox, the 500 milligram version, and it's a red and pink capsule with the numbers and letters WC731
on it. Huh. Wow.
And I found about a dozen antibiotics that met that criterion. And after discussing it with a lot of people that work in the pharmaceutical industry, I've come to the conclusion that these are all produced together, manufactured together, and separated out just before being sent to either the online aquarium store or the human pharmacy.
So are these listed in your book, these survival medicine
Absolutely.
Handbook?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Yes, we talk about them. We talk about the aquarium version of them, what you use each antibiotic for, about 10 or 12 different ones, what their indications are. Can they be used in children? What is the dose in adults? What's the dose in children? Can you use them if you're allergic to penicillin? And basically, I don't want people to think that I'm telling them to practice medicine without a license.
Right.
This is something that you shouldn't do unless you are in a situation where modern medicine is just no longer available to you.
Awesome.
Right. And as an academic discussion, I mean, it's very fascinating to see that they're so closely related, that they're made in the same facilities and in the same dosages, but nobody would advocate getting a prescription drug without a lawful prescription in any way, means, shape, or form. But I think that it's really very telling that, you know, in a situation where, you know, hypothetically that society had broken down and there wasn't the ability to access regular medications, then this might be an alternative under those kind of limited circumstances. But it really is an interesting topic.
We basically want... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say is that our mission is to give people the tools to be able to function in a austere situation so that they can deal with a lot of medical issues that might otherwise be untreatable in that circumstance.
Exactly.
Excellent information. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. Stick around with us, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the Talk of the Town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
We're back. You're listening to Ready Radio. We just finished up our last segment with Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy. I think that was some really fantastic information that they had, not only on what to be prepared for. I mean, I never would have thought a cut could be that serious. Mm-hmm. I figured he was going to say, you know, a compound fracture,
right,
or arterial bleeding, yeah, or dysentery, but no, just the first thing off is first thing that came to mind was a small cut that gets infected. Next thing you know, you've got sepsis, and then where are you going to go?
Right. You know, and we're so spoiled rotten, to be honest with you. I mean, just with everything that we can get our hands on so quickly, and, you know, we can rush the kids off to the doctor's office if we need to. You know, something looks a little red and puffy and just doesn't look right. Minute Clinic, golly, I'm telling you. Yeah.
But, you know, we can take care of ourselves. I mean, you know when you have an ear infection. You know when you have a sprain. You know when you have, you know, bronchitis. In fact, I hate to put any doctors down, but it seems like the story of my life is going to doctors to tell them what
you have. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not that I really need their diagnostic skills, although there have been times in my life when I've been hospitalized or something like that.
Oh, sure, of course.
It was really a mystery what was going on, but... And on the, you know, run of the mill, I know when I have an ear infection.
Mm-hmm.
And I go and they say, yeah, you have an ear infection. Let's give you the 500 milligrams of amoxicillin that you get every single time and take it three times a day for the next 10 days and it'll take care of it. And you're like, like, yeah, I know, I've done this drill before.
Right, exactly. And Dr. Alton wasn't, you know, like you said earlier, he wasn't advocating that we rush out and go, you know, basically to, you know, to heal ourselves with this fish amoxicillin, but just to kind of have as, you know, in your preps.
Well, it's an interesting discussion point mm-hmm. to know that they are very similar. Mm-hmm. And nobody is in any way, shape, or form advocating obtaining a prescription drug without a prescription.
Right,
if you
right.
need a drug, you need to go to a doctor, yeah, get a exactly. valid prescription, and get it from a mm-hmm. licensed pharmacy. But, you know, as an intellectual discussion, it's an interesting point that they're very, very similar. In fact, that they even have the exact same markings that you would find in a physician's desk reference. And this is something that I think is really interesting from a legal standpoint, because here in Georgia and in many other states, it's illegal to have prescription drugs not in the original container. And this is why, because the same exact drug is a prescription drug for a human, but it is a non-prescription drug for a fish. So if they found it in your house, they would be looking for the original container to know whether it was, you know, scheduled so that it had to be with a prescription or not. Mm-hmm. And this is a way to keep law enforcement from making mistakes. So, I mean, it's very interesting from many perspectives that this is a similar thing. But, of course, nobody, not Dr. Alton, nor this radio show, nor any of our sponsors, nor the radio station is in any way advocating getting prescription drugs without visiting a licensed physician and a lawfully licensed pharmacy. What I think is a really good point that he made was that you shouldn't have your first aid kit just stuffed away on a shelf. Get it out, look at mm-hmm. it, know how to use it. And one of the things that True Prep does so well, way better than any other store that I've ever been in, is medical supplies, because they carry not only just, you know, the basic first aid stuff that you need for cuts and scrapes and blisters and this and that, but they carry QuitClot. So mm-hmm. that you can put it on a gaping wound and stop the bleeding instantly. They carry, you know, the ace wraps to keep everything tied up. They even have camo ace wraps, which mm-hmm. are pretty fashionable.
Fancy schmancy,
there
yeah.
There you go. They have guide kits. The AMK guide kit is so exhaustive. I mean, it has everything you could need to go on a camping expedition for a month in the remote wilderness. I had an EMT tell me that the AMK guide kit is actually everything that they would pull out of the truck to go in to investigate somebody who had called in with a medical emergency. So all of the basics that you would need to be able to do it, except for the knowledge, mm-hmm. is available right there in a kit that costs about $200. $200 for everything you could foreseeably need for a quick emergency.
Yeah, which brings us to the True Prep product of the week.
There we go. Which what is it, Amy?
The AMK medical kits.
There we right? go. I mean, it's, you know, We try to have some fun with it, but mm-hmm. seriously, this is a great product line.
It is.
And where are you going to find it? Are you going to go to Walmart and find an exhaustive medical kit?
No.
Are you going to be mm-hmm. able to get into a physician supply store to be able to purchase the things like the hospital has?
I don't know about you, but I can't. No.
So where do you go? I mean, do you end up ordering online? Well, sure, but you can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't talk to anybody about mm-hmm. which of these 23 different kits is the best for your needs. Whereas if you go to True Prep, you get all of that.
Yep, there you go. And, you know, like I said earlier, and I was talking to Nurse Amy about, like, the suture kits. They have suture kits, too.
I did not know that.
Yes, there are suture kits there also.
Maybe I just didn't want to know that.
Maybe. But let me tell you, Doug, I mean, I was really impressed by their mission. And it really did impress me. And they said their mission was to place a medically self-reliant caregiver in every family or mutual assistant group before a disaster occurs.
Yeah, it's a little late after because you've missed the boat then. You really need to be proactive.
And, you know, this could be for, you know, our listeners. If there's anybody that, you know, you don't necessarily have to be in this line of work to be, you know, sort of the one in your family that people go to. Because, you know, I'm the mama and people come running to me with bumps and bruises and scrapes and things like that. And
compound
fractures. No, not yet. Thank God. But I have had, you know, a kid with a, you know, a split over his eye that was, you know, just gushing blood. And I just very calmly, you know, told them to go and get some paper towels. And of course, my goal was to calm the child down. And I took a peek and sure enough, it needed stitches. And I've just put the pressure on there and just held him. And, you know, but just to have that person, you know, they came running to me. I don't know why. I wish they would have picked someone else. You know, because this is, you know, I have my gifts. This one is not one. Mm-hmm. But to have someone, but even having more than one person in the family, having two or three, because if something happens to that primary person that you go to for this kind of help, I mean, it's good to have this knowledge.
I remember when my son was very little. He had a cut on his finger. It was a deep cut, mm-hmm. and it was bleeding. And my wife yelled for me.
Mm.
So she defaulted to me to mm-hmm. take care of it. And I broke out my kit, and I pulled out some gauze and some tape, and I wrapped it up tight, and I stopped the bleeding. And then we took it off and made sure that it was getting blood flow to the tip. And off we went to the doctor to take care of it. But if there hadn't been a doctor, you know, I would have been able to clean the wound. I would have been able it was such a small finger, I would never have been able to stitch it. Mm-hmm. But I use Steri-Strips to help pull it together so that it would heal closely. I mean, there's lots of things we can do. Folks, we're coming up at the end of our show. I would like to remind you, go to readyradio.net. It is a great website that was set up by our sponsor of iTech Atlanta. They are wonderful people who bring you all sorts of information technology and can manage your servers and systems. Thank you for your sponsorship, guys. Also, check us out on Facebook and Twitter, where you can get all of your news and information related to prepper and prepping from readyradio.net. You've been listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Amy get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday evenings at 5, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.